Hey guys, Trevor with E-Commerce Paradise. I'm going to talk to you today about what it takes to manage an e-commerce business and grow it with high-ticket dropshipping. If you haven't gotten my free niches list for high-ticket dropshipping, you can go check it out. A list of 99 of the most profitable products. They're very obscure niches that you may not have thought about yet. They're great for high-ticket dropshipping as well as high-ticket affiliate marketing, all types of high-ticket sales. So go check it out at ecommerceparadise.com/99niches. And if you're interested in getting started with high-ticket dropshipping, I have a free webinar you can watch. It's called High-Ticket Dropshipping Secrets, the 3 secrets you need to know to start a super profitable high-ticket dropshipping business in 30 days or less. Go check it out at ecommerceparadise.com/webinar. And also, if you're trying to get a store started, you just don't have any time, go check out my turnkey, done-for-you business-in-a-box service for high-ticket dropshipping. You can get a high-ticket dropshipping store built out just for you at ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. Get all the info there, book a free consultation with me, and we can discuss your goals and see if we can make them happen. All right, guys, so managing an e-commerce store can be one of the most fulfilling experiences and also one of the most stressful experiences of your life. You have to understand what it takes before you get into this business model, because it's unlike other business models where, like, let's just say another business model example would be like book publishing or writing a book, you know, and publishing it, that kind of thing. You're creating an information product. You're writing a book first, you're getting edited and you're having a graphic made for it. And then you can put it up with a publisher like Amazon, Kindle, or, you know, another publisher and sell it. And your business relies on the amount of books you sell, the amount of people that buy your books and leave reviews for you. But that's pretty much it. If you want to grow beyond that, you can, of course, provide services according to what that book is. Like, let's say that book is about gardening, for instance, and you wanted to provide some sort of a course on gardening. You could refer people at the end of reading that book to your course on gardening and make more sales there. And through your course, you can do other things like media publishing and affiliate marketing, things like that. So that kind of a thing doesn't really require day-to-day customer service, right? You're just kind of every single day waking up calmly, creating more content, creating more funnels, and so on and so forth. Now, if you wanted to kind of transition from that sort of a thing and move up into high-ticket dropshipping, what you could do is you could look at what kind of high-ticket products are sold in the garden and back door, you know, backyard areas, and think about selling that online. There's things like greenhouses and sheds and garden boxes and, you know, expensive gardening tools and maybe even commercial gardening equipment, things that farms would use and stuff like that. You know, just think of anything that's really expensive. Usually in the $1,000 to $5,000 range, though, we don't go a whole lot over five, maybe at the max $10,000, because then you start requiring longer sales process and purchase orders and, you know, different financing, things like that. But in that same price range, $1,000 to $5,000 or $10,000, you're looking at products that have a 20 or 30% profit margin, sometimes higher, sometimes lower, but that's generally what it is. And you can make, you know, 20 or 30% on the product. So it's a great model to get into. But the thing you have to understand with high ticket dropshipping is that you're doing customer service. You're doing pre-sales, sales calls and consultations, right? You gotta make sure that product's right for that person. Make sure they have all their needs fulfilled, make sure they have all their questions answered, and get the product on order. You know, you wanna make sure it's in stock, right? You wanna make sure they have it in that particular variant that person's looking for, that feature, whatever, that color or that size. And you might have to go back and forth between the customer and the supplier a couple of times to make sure everything's right, to get their questions answered and make sure everything's in stock. And then you gotta get it on order. So you either take the order over the phone and place it on your website, just like you're the customer, or you're gonna take it by, you know, sending them an invoice by email and they can place it that way, or they'll just place it directly on your website. One way or the other, you gotta close the sale and get them to place it with their credit card, or get them to place it with a debit card, or get them to order it with their PayPal account, or get it to order with through financing, maybe through like a financing partner like Klarna, or maybe even they just submit a purchase order to you. If it's like a government organization, they're trustworthy, you know, they can just send you a PO that they would then, you know, pay out in 30 or 60 or 90 days, whatever the PO is. They can also send you money orders. I've had that happen before, or wire money directly to your bank account. You know, you can take payment in a number of different ways. But that's generally the process before an order happens, right? Is you're gonna put the product on your website, field some questions. People might just buy it passively, but, you know, more often than not, they might call first and stuff like that and make sure, and you gotta close the sale. Once the sale is closed, then you have to send the order to the supplier. If the order was placed online without you having to check stock first, then of course the first step after they place the order is you've got to check stock with your supplier. You got to make sure it's in stock, okay? When an order is placed, usually what we're doing first and foremost though is we are using an app like ClearSale to make sure that it's not a fraudulent order. Okay, ClearSale is a company that's been around for like 20 years and they do fraud checks. Okay, they basically do background checks on customers, make sure that they're real people and that actually the people that own the credit card that they're using. So we use ClearSale. They have some automations in place that can automatically capture orders. We do not do that though, because what you need to do as dropshippers first is we need to determine if it's in stock. You do not want to capture funds on an order and then have to refund it right away. It doesn't look good to the merchant, okay? So you'd rather just authorize it, keep it authorized. If it gets approved by ClearSale, then go check stock with your supplier. And then if it's in stock, great. So, you know, you can send the supplier the purchase order if everything adds up correctly and it matches and it's good. Then the customer doesn't like at the last second request to change something or something like that. Like there's all sorts of weird things that happen. But if everything goes smoothly, you can send the PO to the supplier. And a purchase order is basically like a printout of the order you got from the customer without, you know, any pricing, just the quantity and the customer's address. Or you can just email them the info. Or there's apps that can automatically send purchase orders to vendors as well. But we really only want to do that as soon as we verify that it is a non-fraudulent order and that the order is in stock, okay? Some suppliers will give you stock sheets on a weekly basis, right? So you can update stock on your website, you know it's in stock. Some suppliers though, especially in these new trendy industries, new trendy products, they're gonna be going through their stock like crazy. So even if it says in stock on their spreadsheet, sometimes it's just not in stock. And sometimes, you know, like a different color, different size or whatever is gonna be in stock. So you've gotta call the customer if it's not in stock or email them and say, hey, you know, this isn't in stock right now, but this is the alternative, either that or a completely different product is an alternative. Would you like to A, hold until, you know, that's back in stock in 1 or 2 weeks, whatever the supplier tells you, you gotta ask the supplier, hey, when is it gonna be back in stock? And if you don't know an alternative product, ask the supplier, say, hey, what do you suggest for an alternative product? Would you suggest, you know, something else from your line? And if they can't, then, or that's not in stock too, you might have to go with a completely different supplier and suggest a brand from a different supplier. And this kind of requires an understanding of the catalogs you're working with from different suppliers, how the products are similar to one another, what the feature sets are, how they're different, and what the customer might be interested in, okay? The better you understand your catalogs that you sell from your supplier, the better you're gonna be able to provide support and sales and close more sales, okay? So once you determine that, of course, if that's the back order you're going through, then you determine whether the customer is willing to wait or if they just want to cancel their order. Of course, you should only have it authorized at this point. So canceling isn't really going to be like refunding. It's just going to be canceling the authorization on the charge. And at that point, you know, you can just keep the customer in a list of people to follow up with when that order's back in stock. There's apps that do that automatically too. Like if you list something out of stock, you can install an app on your website that makes it so that they can sign up to receive a notification when it's back in stock, so that when your website gets updated, they'll get an email and they can order from you if they want to at that point. And if they want to keep the back order, right, then that's great. But just keep in mind with authorizations, especially with Shopify payments, you can't keep it for more than a week. They're gonna cancel the authorization, okay? So if it's backward more than a week, most often you're just gonna have to cancel it anyways. If they're okay to pre-order, and that's what we call pre-ordering, is actually capturing the sale and then going ahead and waiting longer than a week to get the product. Maybe, you know, this is required for things like custom products that take 3 weeks or whatever to manufacture and send out. And that's okay. The customer needs to verbally or in writing agree to the pre-order though, to basically capturing the funds on their credit card first, charging their card, and then still waiting for the product, okay? You want to avoid chargebacks if at all possible. Chargebacks can be the worst thing. And if the customer does not agree to a pre-order through writing or a recorded phone call, then there's nothing you can take to the bank if they try a chargeback later on. Because like, for instance, a lot of these custom product companies will require you to pay up front, right, obviously. And they won't allow any cancellations sometimes because they have to put effort into actually creating the product. This is pretty common in like the safe industry, gun safes and stuff like that, big gun safes. Like they got to manufacture these things. You can't just like manufacture every single type and variant, whatever paint you want, you know, a special paint on a product and keep it in stock. Like they actually build these things to order. They're multiple thousands of dollars. They're sometimes thousands of pounds. So Yeah, they manufactured it. It takes like a month sometimes, right? And so the customer has to prepay. If they decide halfway through they want to cancel, they cannot cancel, okay? So you have to get in writing that they're willing to pre-order. Everything is, you know, straight up forward, and then you place the order with your supplier, and then it ships out a month later, okay? That's the kind of process there. And every niche kind of has certain things that are sort of like this, okay? Some don't. Some are more simple. Some are more complicated. So before you decide to go into a particular industry, just know what you're getting yourself into. Look at competitors' websites and decide, okay, is this something I want to actually deal with or not? Because some niches are just quite complicated. Some are a lot more simple. Every niche has kind of its ups and downs, its pros and cons, okay? So do your research. So if you go and get my niches list, I have a whole guide on exactly what you need to look into. So definitely check that out, okay? ecommerceparadise.com/99niches. All right, once the supplier gets the order, if everything's good and it's going to ship out soon, you know, some orders they just ship out like when the same day or next day, like some suppliers are real fast, you know, some high-ticket categories. So if that happens, then great. They'll charge your credit card. They'll send you an invoice. They should send you an invoice. If they don't, then you need to request an invoice from them because that's, you know, what you use to do your bookkeeping. So request the invoice. Some suppliers will charge shipping up front. Some won't. If they include shipping cost in the product cost, it's a lot easier, okay? And if they don't, then they'll charge extra for it. Now, some suppliers don't even deal with shipping. They actually, and they have high-ticket products, right? So they require you to do the shipping for them. You need to then use an app like Freight Club, which I recommend. Freight Club is awesome because they can get really good rates, okay? And it's an app that goes right into Shopify, so you can get a bill of lading printed out and everything paid for right then and there and send it to your supplier. It syncs with Shopify, so it pulls all your order data, customer data, etc. So it's really easy to use. If you're interested, by the way, in getting going with either like ClearSale or Freight Club, any of my recommendations, go check out my resources page at ecommerceparadise.com/resources. They're all listed there with links, referral links, as well as some discounts and coupons for some of the services that they provide us with for our audience. So go check that out, ecommerceparadise.com/resources. And also, of course, you can just use my referral link right off the bat. ecommerceparadise.com/clearsale, for instance, or /freight club will take you straight to their website and the best offer that they've allowed our audience at the time. Okay, so Freight Club, I recommend if your supplier does not do shipping. Okay, some just give you the option. Some suppliers will be like, hey, would you like to use our account or your account? And you got to weigh the options. Usually the option is that if you use their account, it might cost a little more. Okay, they might add some padding to the profit margin, but you get something for that, okay? You don't have to deal with the bill of lading and creating all that stuff. That is kind of a pain in the butt. You have to set up the pickup time at their warehouse with the freight company. It takes a lot of time, okay? So there's that. And then if something happens with the shipment, if the shipment gets damaged, it happens from time to time, freight companies will accidentally bump it into something else or whatever, you know? Whether the damage happened at the warehouse that was being stored or at the manufacturer in China and on the way to the warehouse or from the way to the warehouse, the customer, you don't really know, okay? But the freight company will end up having to deal with that damage. So usually you can tell if there was damage to the packaging, then obviously it happened in shipment. If there wasn't and the product is damaged, then it's more likely that it happened before it was packaged up. In other words, at the warehouse or whatever, okay? But by doing it yourself, you're gonna have to take responsibility for that. And if there's any shipping damage, you are gonna be the one to deal with that. So you gotta file the claim with the freight company, and that can take months to deal with and get refunded for. Of course, if there's damage and the customer doesn't want to ship it back themselves, you're gonna have to pay for a return label. If the supplier actually went ahead and shipped it for you, then they'll be the ones to offer the return label. And that's a whole nother process, okay? That's like a warranty process. Shipping damage and warranty issues, you know, can happen, okay? And you kind of have to keep that in mind. Like, if there's shipping damage when the product arrives, that sucks. You're going to have to deal with it, though, okay? And whether you did the shipping or the supplier did the shipping, one way or the other, you're going to have to work it out with the customer. The customer is what matters most. And if the customer is upset, you're just going to have to take care of them, okay? If it's going to cost you some money, whatever, just do it. Customers being upset really suck. Okay, so it's better to take care of them. Most orders arrive undamaged. Like I would say when you're dealing with good suppliers, 80, 90% of the orders will be perfectly fine. When you're dealing with shitty suppliers though, oftentimes the suppliers are ordering cheaper products from China or just, you know, bad quality. They'll have a lot of warranty issues. If they use cheaper packaging, or cheaper shipping methods, right? To save money, to cut corners. You're going to run into shipping damage issues. So just keep that in mind when dealing with suppliers, okay? If you start having a lot of shipping damage issues or warranty issues, consider dropping them as a supplier or using a different freight company, you know, that kind of thing. All right, so if the product ships out, great, no problem. You'll get tracking information from your supplier along with an invoice, the shipping costs, or you can just use Freight Club or whatever and get your shipping costs directly from them. And you'll send tracking to your customer, enter it into Shopify. It's a really simple process. Customer will then get an email notification. And if you set up your email marketing correctly, like I show in my masterclass, you'll be able to have emails automatically sent to your customer following up using an app like Aftership, for instance. Aftership is another great app I recommend and offer as a resource on my resources page. Aftership provides shipping updates and delivery updates and for, you know, when like a UPS package or FedEx package has been marked for. Like it's been shipped, you know, it's out for delivery. The customer will get an email notification of that. So it makes it a lot easier for them. And you'll get a notification if there's some problem with the package. That's key, okay? Because if there's problems, you wanna know right away so you can contact the customer. If there's a problem with delivery, you don't wanna wait till like the third attempt before you start even hearing about it, because then it's gonna get rerouted back to you. You're gonna have to pay for shipping and it's a return at that point, okay? So you wanna hear right away. Aftership will notify you as a seller if something happens. You can contact the customer by phone and email, ask them what's going on, and then try to contact the freight company and try to solve that problem before it becomes a more expensive problem for you, okay? Customer gets the package, great. So like I said, usually things get delivered just fine and they get the product. If that happens, they can unpack it, you know, whatever that means for them. Some products are more complicated than others. Some products require simply unboxing and they're like ready to go right out of the box. No problem. Awesome. That's a dreamy experience. When you work with suppliers that create good quality products and the products are ready to go out of the box, no problem. Customer knows what they're getting. That is an awesome situation. You make profit. Boom. Done deal. And then you just try to get the customer to leave you a good review and buy more products from you in the future and refer you to their friends. Okay. If there's issues with it, like let's say the product is really complicated and the customer doesn't really know how to assemble it or install it, you're going to have to just, you know, lend a helping hand however you can. Obviously, you can't go out to their residence in person. You're going to have to, help them figure out what they need to do. So if it's a big, expensive product that needs to be installed in their home, they probably need to hire a contractor or some service to come in there and install it for them if they can't figure it out themselves, okay? You know, for instance, like electric fireplaces, some of them that you have to be like installed into the wall and stuff like that, they're going to require some, you know, work on the house. So you got to hire a contractor if you can't do it yourself, or just do it yourself. There's a lot of YouTube videos on how to install like a built-in electric fireplace, you know. But if it's a freestanding one, it's pretty much ready to go out of the box. You just, you know, plug it in. Or if it's like ethanol powered, you just pour the little liquid in there and boom, light it and it's good to go. Okay. So yeah, it really just depends on the product. Some products require more intricate installation and assembly. Like an electric bicycle, for instance, comes in a box unassembled. You got to put it together. And, you know, when you're using it, you're going pretty fast down the road. So if that thing breaks because you assembled it wrong, or the brakes don't work, they don't slow down because you assembled it wrong, and you kill yourself, for instance, then that's obviously liability, right, for the seller and for the manufacturer. So you have to make sure that the customer on a product like that, where they're risking their lives using it, they go to an actual shop that deals with those assembly things in a professional manner, okay, and get it done right. So put that as a disclaimer on your website. Like, we are not liable if you decide to assemble this thing yourself and use it in a dangerous manner. We're not liable. We are not liable. We are not liable. Just repeat it all throughout your website so that person knows. We highly recommend taking it to a local bike shop and getting it assembled first. In fact, we can always ship it to that shop for you if you'd like. Just let us know. You know, you can run into a whole nother bunch of issues by shipping your product to a competitive retailer. You know, I've had issues where like competitor retailers actually told the customer, oh, this is a terrible product, you should just return it and buy one of our better ones. And the customer actually listened to them and did that, and that created a whole nother bunch of issues. Of course, you'll want to have some sort of a return policy that's fair, but also does charge some bit of money and gives them a disincentive to do something like that. In case, like, basically a restocking fee, really. Like, you have to pay return shipping and pay a restocking fee. That's pretty normal, you know, in the e-commerce industry, because you're dealing with having to, like, re-inventory stuff, which means it could have been damaged in shipment, so, you know, you might lose money later on, that kind of thing. So, restocking fees and return shipping is pretty common. If free shipping was offered, you have to pay for that. That's kind of one of those things that's iffy, but some companies do it. You know, it just makes sense. Protects them from, you know, unscrupulous customers that just feel like, oh, it's Amazon. I can return anything I want to, no matter how big it is, and they'll pay for it. So at any rate, if a customer is happy with the product, that's awesome. If they can get it assembled or installed or whatever, and boom, they have it, then that's amazing. You've made profit on the order. The customer is happy. The product works great. The next step, of course, is to send them a review request, which should be automatic. If you have a reviews app like Judge Me or Looks or something like that, you'll send a review request to the customer. The customer will hopefully make a nice review on your website of it. They'll continue to get email follow-ups about, you know, creating testimonial videos for you. Hopefully you'll do that. That's what I teach in the masterclass. I provide templates on that kind of stuff so you can get more testimonials and things like that. And then, of course, create some sort of an affiliate program, incentivize them to share your website with their friends and family. That's also a great idea too. And you can just kind of snowball your business that way by getting referrals, because referrals are great. You have built-in trust. People love you. They know like and trust you. They want to do business with you. They would rather have their friends go to someone they know like and trust rather than start with somebody new that they don't, okay? And this works great in niches that are for the older generations, because they're used to working with referrals and on a referral basis. I think everybody really is more comfortable with referrals anyways. You know, like for me, for instance, if I'm hiring a new team member, I'd much rather go through people my team already knows and recommends to me, because then I know they're higher quality people right off the bat. And my team, since they already know them, they're actually better able, since they already have a relationship with them, to train that person. So it's really easy for me to onboard new VAs now, because all I have to do is have them tell me who a guy or a girl is, and I do a quick interview with them, make sure they have, you know, good attitude and good everything, whatever, just kind of introduce ourselves, build rapport. And then boom, you know, they basically just onboard to the team automatically with the trainings, and, you know, with my current team, they train them. So anyway, that's just kind of how that works. But yeah, that's the process of high ticket dropshipping, folks. It sounds complicated, maybe a bit, if you've never done it before, but really it isn't super simple. Any retail business goes through the same stuff. It just depends on the niche that you're selling in. And if you want to create like big, broad stores, you're going to be selling in multiple niches. You've got to understand each of those niches and the different requirements and set those kinds of things up in your website to teach the customer about the whole process, okay? If you can use video, great. If you can just use the written word, that's fine too. But you've got to create a business that has lots of content so the customers know what they're getting themselves into when they order these products. And of course, you want to drive the right kind of traffic to your website. You don't want to just drive traffic that people don't even know about your niche that much, you know? And you can do that later on if you create content for those people to teach them, okay? And that's the beauty of creating content on your website. If you create like a lot of blog articles, you can drive organic traffic of people that don't really know what they want yet. Get them on an email list, get them in your social media community. Follow up over time. When they are actually in the market for a product, you're gonna be top of mind, okay? But in the beginning, especially in the beginning, you wanna be driving low, bottom of the funnel, low-hanging fruit traffic to your website. People that already know what they want, and they are just looking for the best deal on it and the most trustworthy site to buy it from, okay? Those are the best kind of customers to deal with, especially in the beginning, because they require the least amount of hand-holding. They've already done their research. They know exactly what they need, especially in complicated industries. You know, they might even come to you with an exact SKU number, like, hey, I just need this exact SKU. I want somebody to order it from who is, you know, an expert and who is going to be able to help me through the process and do the best work for me. So they'll most likely come to your site instead of a big broad site like Amazon that can't really handle a custom request, you know? So you'll get a lot of those types of orders, which is great because those are usually very profitable, and they're customers that are oftentimes businesses or just, you know, hobbyists that really want to order from somebody they trust, and so they'll come back to you over and over and over again. All right, so hope that makes sense. It's kind of a combination of dropshipping and high ticket sales, right? And eventually, when you get really big, you can start ordering your own inventory, the best-selling products, you know, have a warehouse, store them at the warehouse. You can even create your own private label brands, starting with like the accessories that you're upselling, the add-ons and stuff like that, or even just the main products that are bestsellers, okay? You can create a big business just like Amazon has in the same way that they do it. You can basically become a big e-commerce brand like Wayfair, have multiple sub-brands of private label brands, and warehouse your suppliers' best-selling products, and, you know, have big competitive advantages when it comes to big sales seasons, like, you know, your natural seasonality of the seasons of the niche, or, you know, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, that kind of stuff, Christmas sales seasons. So All right, guys, I hope this podcast was super helpful. I know I dropped a ton of knowledge here. So if you have any more questions, you can always email me at trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. I'm super happy to help. I'm currently doing this myself. That's why I do these podcasts, because I have real-world experience constantly. I'm constantly working with my team to resolve issues and, you know, brighten them up and make them feel good about what they're doing when things are tough. And also know that, you know, I've got over 10 years of retail experience. I've been doing this online stuff for like 10, 15 years. I worked at a wholesale retail company in the lock and security industry, which is a super complicated industry, one of the most complicated as far as part numbers goes and SKU numbers go and stuff like that. And I took all that understanding of nomenclature and retail psychology, basically retail management, and brought it into my dropshipping business. So I'm the best equipped to be able to offer advice and support for this kind of thing in a variety of different niches. I can kind of break it down logically and provide the best solution for that. So if you guys have any things you want help with, definitely come to me and I can help you out. Trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. Thanks so much for listening. Definitely subscribe and leave a review on the iTunes podcast. I appreciate every review I get. It helps me reach more people. And also, if you want to get my high-ticket dropshipping masterclass, you can check it out at ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass. And if you want a done-for-you service to get your high-ticket dropshipping store started, check it out at ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. And I look forward to helping you become successful with high-ticket dropshipping. I'll talk to you in the next episode. Take care.